Welcome to the Let's Talk Energy podcast from EnergyNet. This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2024 in Barcelona, Spain. Join us for these and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.
Good afternoon here from Barcelona at the Africa Energy Forum 2024. You're joining us here on the Wednesday, which is the second full day of the program. My name is Mark Howard, and I have my guests here today, Eluma Obibuaka, and he is with the Africa Finance Corporation, which is a Lagos-headquartered financial institution that is backing many of the vital projects for Africa's energy transition. So thank you for joining me here today, Eluma. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Good to be here.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the AFC, as a journalist writing in the energy sector, the AFC is a very important financier for all sorts of energy projects, ranging from renewables through to gas to power. But perhaps some of the listeners and watchers of today's broadcasts may not be familiar with the AFC itself. So perhaps I could ask you to introduce the AFC and your mandate and what you work on yourself on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you very much. Thanks. AFC is essentially a development finance institution, African owned, and started out with African money in terms of the sources of capital for us, and we have right now a membership of 43 African countries. We have also some of those countries that are investors. And we have significant investment from private sector institutions within the continent. Capital base is our asset base in terms of just the overall book is $12.3 billion US dollars. And we have, in terms of a shareholding, about roughly 60% private. And 40% public. My role within AFC is I head the power sector work, wherein we finance generation projects. We also finance at this time. We're also looking to finance at this time transmission line projects that are very important to extending energy access across the continent.
Absolutely right. And I mean, as you say there, the headline figures that people tend to quote are generation capacity within individual countries and markets. And that's clearly essential because if you don't generate the electrons, you can't dispatch them. But the other piece of the puzzle is the transmission infrastructure, as you say, which is often forgotten.
Absolutely.
And it's very expensive, very capital intensive, likewise. Yeah, so it's worth highlighting, certainly. So you you mentioned your particular role in the power aspect of AFC's business, which is very core, it's very important. And a lot of people increasingly in the last few years have talked about the energy trilemma. And this is what many people say is a way of looking at energy that's reliable and affordable, but it also has security of supply. And clearly meeting all these things, some technologies are great at being, providing security of supply, but not so great at being reliable in terms of dispatchable, providing baseload and so on. Now the AFC has done really sterling work in supporting projects on particularly the gas to power side over the last few years, supporting major projects just off the top of my head, for instance, in Senegal, recently as an investor. So can you speak to AFC's backing for gas to power and maybe the role you see gas playing as a transition fuel for many countries in Africa that have large demands going forward?
Thanks. AFC certainly believes that gas is a transition fuel on the continent. We need to understand that within the continent, there are many countries, there are a number of countries that have gas that they are not and have not been able to utilize for the purposes of providing electricity or providing other forms of energy. And in these countries, it's not uncommon for wood fuel to be utilized for cooking and to be utilized for lighting. And some of these sorts of fuels are extremely polluting fuels. Coal is also in the same bucket if one were to sort of think about it. So in essence, we believe that gas in combination with things like forestry, of which Africa has quite a significant amount, and other things that we can do, especially when you utilize gas in an efficient manner, where you're not wasting the energy, given its carbon footprint, is one that will make a difference in terms of, at least for Africa, as we continue to industrialize, as we continue to build our base load, is something that is required. That said, we also, as an institution, an investor, a significant investor in the largest renewable energy platform on the continent. So we are essentially playing a part in promoting renewables, of which we know that we're fully aware that Africa has very significant capabilities as significant resources as it relates to solar, significant resources as it relates to hydro. Solar probably will translate to about 11,000 gig, hydro about 350,000 gig. So this is a very significant amount. But as we transition to a world where to net zero, perhaps in 2060 or thereabouts, we need a fuel that leads us on that path. And gas is certainly a critical element to getting towards that. So as other technologies improve, as the cost of batteries and things like this go down, we will then continue to deploy more and more. And when I say we, I'm saying Africans would then deploy more and more of this, and AFC would be there to play its role as far as reducing the deficit, reducing the energy deficit, and providing electricity to the 600 million Africans who have no access to electricity.
Absolutely. Yeah, fascinating points that you make, very salient points. You perhaps have to be slightly more diplomatic about it than I do as a journalist, but I can say it's an energy transition, not an energy switch. So it involves moving from a transition from different sources of generating electrons.
Absolutely.
And that takes time, it takes money, it takes investment, and not everyone can just leapfrog from one technology to another. That's wishful thinking, that's fantasy thinking. So
it's could not agree with you more.
So it's refreshing to see a large institution, you know, like the AFC, strongly backing African countries being able to use their resources and indigenous resources in many cases. Countries like you said that are large gas producers that can then put this resource to the benefit of their own people. I mean, a very recent report that came out from the Energy Institute, you know, released just in the last 2 weeks. It used to be the BP Statistical Review of World Energy, but they've rebranded themselves now. And also the IEA's most recent oil report. So, you know, both of these documents in tandem, when I was reading them, I was thinking, actually, not a lot of people probably know that Africa remains a net energy exporter in terms of the balance of crude oil and refined products and gas, etc., exported around the world. And Africa is in the midst of an energy crisis. So I think this sort of nuanced approach that the AFC has adopted, it's very praiseworthy indeed. And it's a roadmap actually for the future, because we speak to a lot of players in the industry. We speak to utilities, we speak to power developers. And the number one problem that a lot of utilities are facing is actually attracting finance for otherwise bankable projects. Yeah, for gas to power that, as you say, could then enable more renewables to be added to national grid systems. And that's clearly something that AFC have experience of as well. Is that core to a mandate? You know, when you assess a gas project, you're looking at that grid and thinking maybe we could add, you know, a lot more utility solar and wind, for instance, by adding that gas.
So I would simply say that our mandate is to reduce the infrastructure deficit. At the core of our mandate is to reduce the infrastructure deficit in Africa. One, of course, a part of that infrastructure deficit is in the area of electricity. And so the way to think about it is that in a lot of African countries, if one were to think about it realistically in terms of what we see on the ground. The loads of countries that right now, the backbone in terms of electricity generation is HFO. In some countries like South Africa, the backbone of electricity generation is coal, right? So the point that I think one is making is that, and then on top of that, is that we have very low levels of industrialization within the continent, as well as issues, of course, with our utilities, etc. But if one were to put all that aside, the step-by-step approach in terms of the way we see it is that in countries that have gas that's available to them, those countries may or may not have other forms of renewable, but they will indeed have solar. In Africa, they will almost certainly have solar. Some will have significant hydro resources, some will not, and some will have significant wind resources, most will not. In those instances, you certainly want to be able to utilize gas to address the immediate problem they have, which is an energy problem and access and supply of energy for purposes of industrialization on a baseload basis, and also for the purposes just of consumption. So that's the gap that we're trying to fill, but we do it in a responsible way. All of these technologies in terms of even gas burners, in the gas turbines that are utilized, we also work with the sponsors to make sure that these have heat rates that make sense, right? And to make sure that some of these technologies in the future can have switches in the amount of gas that they use, as well as hydrogen inputs into the gas that they utilize, so that you reduce the footprint of the gas itself. But as you pointed out earlier, this is a transition, and we have to do the transition in a way that makes sense for Africa.
Absolutely, yeah. And very interesting points you highlight there with future-proofing gas assets for maybe prospective hydrogen supply or synthetic fuels going forward. It's very forward-thinking, extremely interesting. Also, as you alluded to, you know, it's a holistic approach that AFC and many others are looking at. Clearly, as you mentioned, you're an investor and key stakeholder in the continent's largest renewable player, you know, Infinity Power as well. It's a whole systems approach. And another part that you touched on that's so vital to Africa's electricity supply industries is the future of the transmission sector going forward. Perhaps an unloved part of the industry by some in terms of the lack of attention it gets, but vitally, vitally important. We're going to see a huge demand, I think, for high voltage infrastructure. We're seeing a lot of progress in the West African Power Pool, Southern African Power Pool, international interconnections. Perhaps you could speak to your work a little bit on the transmission side of things. Perhaps an unsung but vital aspect of the electricity supply industries.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, one of the things that we are looking at focusing on, and we are working also to with regulators to improve regulation as it relates to transmission lines, which will then enable the private sector to play a bigger role, is especially in transmission and especially what is called international interconnectors. And in certain countries, you have lines, transmission lines that sort of get to their border, which is their responsibility, and it stops there. But you need an interconnector on the other side of some other country's border to take electricity to some of these places. This issue is also related to climate change, because you find that a lot of landlocked African countries, especially those without gas, tend to use diesel and liquid fuel as the primary source of electricity generation. It actually makes sense to transmit to these countries, in some cases, cleaner sources of power, such as hydro, across these transmission lines, and then to trade energy across borders, which generates income for the country selling the energy, but also solves a problem for the country receiving the electricity, and at the same time generating benefits generating economic benefits within target countries. So that's the way that we look at it. So the first part of the work is on the regulatory side, and then specific transmission infrastructure. There is a project that we're looking at now where we're looking to work with a large commercial and industrial customer who right now is looking at utilizing liquid fuel for their production, which is off-grid. We're providing a transmission line that essentially takes electricity from the grid. It's a primarily hydro country, so you take clean electricity from the grid to this location. So the transmission story itself is also part and parcel of the transition process in Africa.
Absolutely, yeah. No, very, really, really interesting points you make. And the example that jumps to mind is the West African Power Pool, of course. You've got countries with phenomenal, hydrological resources that can supply neighboring countries, that don't have those water courses. But conversely, you have lots of countries rich in, let's say, gas or maybe solar PV or solar radiation to build out solar capacity. So you've got that symbiotic benefit there.
Absolutely.
And trading power, as you allude to, creates a market.
Absolutely.
Efficiencies.
Absolutely.
So this is a great thing to invest in. And another point you touched on that is very important indeed, and I think perhaps should be highlighted a lot more in the discourse around energy, is the de facto situation remains that plenty of countries are burning HFO or heavy fuel oil, which is often termed bunker fuel, maybe for some of the audience who might be more familiar with that term, and diesel, of course. Not only are these very expensive to import, especially if countries don't refine them themselves from their own crude, but they are very highly emitting.
Absolutely.
Indeed. So the health benefits in the immediate environment, especially in countries where small generator sets are used, whether diesel or petroleum fired, Nigeria springs to mind, of course, but there's plenty of other countries, or people living in the environs of, let's say, a mine with their large on-site, off-grid HFO-fired generation plant. There are severely adverse health impacts, particularly to younger people. And so that's a key important decarbonisation as well. But as you alluded to previously as well, Iluma, when you're looking at clean cooking, which is a bit of a buzzword, but actually what that's about is giving people access to cleaner fuels for cooking. So not only are they not using charcoal or natural biomass, such as wood, which is a large contributor to deforestation,
and
destroying carbon sinks as well, but the health benefits for people in the home are clearly very important.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
So we're looking at a very holistic approach to the energy transition and trying to maximize the utility.
That's exactly the point.
Absolutely. So, I mean, AFC, in our publication, African Energy, we're a newsletter, we cover all aspects of the energy sector from the upstream through to renewables across Africa. And we have, of course, written about many of the projects that AFC have backed in recent years. Could you speak to maybe one or two projects that you have in the works in particular that are exciting, or maybe that have been recently commissioned, or that you're looking forward to reaching project milestones coming up?
Okay, so I'll talk about two, maybe three, that all relate, that are actually all renewable. So right now we have an interesting project in Cape Verde, wherein we've got what is called the Cabiolica project, which is a wind farm. We are now in a position to expand that wind farm. So it's in the process of being expanded, and at the same time, we're complementing the output of the farm with 30 megawatts of battery storage system, which will do a couple of things. Number one, just stabilize the grid. When it stabilizes the grid, it also helps reduce the amount of fossil fuels that are used in conjunction with the wind farm. The wind farm produces 20% of the energy for the country. But when you do what I've just described, it allows you to reduce any curtailment of the wind farm and therefore increase the penetration of renewables. So that's an interesting item that should reach financial close in about a month in terms of this expansion, and should frankly be in operation towards the close of next year.
Wow, fantastic. And that's, yeah, far, so, off the top of my head, that was one of the very first commercially financed wind projects.
Correct,
on
the continent, yeah. Absolutely.
Very significant,
absolutely.
Project, yeah.
So we're following our own footsteps.
Yeah.
And increasing. So that's number one. The other one that comes to mind is Djibouti, what we call the Red Sea Power Project, wherein it's a 60 megawatt wind project in Djibouti, which has gone into operations. It's doing extremely well. It's in terms of technical performance, is meeting the numbers that we had estimated as far as generation, and is helping the country as we speak,
yeah,
achieve energy independence. And this is also a country that before now relied on imports as well as lots of liquid fuel generation to meet its needs and requirements. So this is a very big win that has impacts in terms of imports of crude, etc., for the purpose of electricity as well as environmental benefits. So we are proud and happy of our accomplishment in this regard. We're also hoping that next year, or at the beginning of next year, that we would help bring into being the Sindobo Hydro Project in Ivory Coast, to help complement the fleet of hydro projects in that country and increase the amount of renewable sources of energy that's available there.
Fantastic. And the Djibouti project was another landmark one, you know, one of the first utility scale projects, not just of renewable projects, in that country. Fantastic wind resource. I'm glad to hear that it's performing very
absolutely.
Well.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
Yeah. No, very, very interesting projects indeed, and great ones to hear about. I'm glad to hear that. So we're here at the Africa Energy Forum in Barcelona this year, and I'm sure, Aluma, that you've had many interesting conversations the week to, you know, to date. Maybe you could speak to some of the you know, interesting discussions that you've been having, maybe sessions or panels that you've attended, you know, things that you've enjoyed at the conference.
Okay, there are very many, so I'll just try to pick up the ones that immediately come to mind. It's been a great conference, and we've had good conversations, and it's always good to come in and talk to people in the industry to sort of learn not only what people are doing, broadly speaking, but also to hear what is sort of coming down the pike. And one of the, I just got out of an exciting meeting where we were talking about battery storage and the goals for between now and 2030, where the expectations is to actually grow from circa 1 gig today in terms of planned capacity to something like 7 gig in 2030, which is an extremely ambitious goal. But this goal will require a lot of effort to achieve. But one of the things actually that I heard, which was interesting, was that if costs of the batteries themselves, which over the past 7 or so years has gone down significantly. But if these costs continue to go down, then it improves the possibility that these batteries can be adopted as ways to balance the grid, complement supply, especially of renewables, as well as other sources of energy. Going forward, and will become a major source of electricity by 2030. I am hopeful that in say a place like Nigeria, where if you even go to large companies, especially industrial companies, that have very, very large polluting generating sets, that these items will come down to a price where they become a real substitute for diesel generators. If that happens, then we're making huge progress. So I do think that batteries and battery technology has prospect for Africa. The second thing that is happening now is that for a lot of the projects that we look at on the private sector side of things, which we call independent power producers or IPPs, a lot of them are structured along 20-year PPAs, etc. The hope is to go to what is called a merchant market in some places. In Southern Africa, this is becoming increasingly the case. But you need financial structuring cases that allow for this to happen. And we've heard and discussed some ideas that will allow for this to happen going into the future. So all I can say as far as that is concerned is stay tuned.
Absolutely. A very exciting conversations. Much food for thought and excitement and optimism for the future. You know, batteries, not just for storage people, they're for frequency regulation and stabilization of the grid. And yeah, the merchant market's a very exciting space going forward as well. Well, Iluma, it's been extremely stimulating talking with you. It's always great to hear from the AFC, which is really pioneering very exciting things in the energy space in Africa. So thank you so much for your time today. And thank you to our viewers and listeners as well.
Thank you for having me.
This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2024 in Barcelona, Spain. Join us for these and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.